This morning's reading is from Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him lacked nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word is truth. And we pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may understand it and believe it and take it to our hearts and be changed into the likeness of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is the second of two sermons on the subject of fear. That is to say, freedom from fear. Fear, of course, is something perfectly natural and normal. It's a God-given instinct. It's designed to stop us putting our hand in the fire. We're meant to fear the consequence of that. Fear helps us to achieve things. Fear drove me to revise for my exams. Admittedly, only the night before, very often, on one occasion until 5:30 a.m. It's a good thing to have a healthy fear of a challenge. This raises our game. I always feel a bit nervous when I stand up to sing a solo. But the adrenaline that's released when I feel afraid actually means I can produce a sound in performance which is better than I can produce in rehearsal. So fear is a God-given instinct which does us good, protects us from doing dangerous things, and helps us to achieve our best. That said, verse 4 of our psalm says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. We need to be delivered from fear. Not the healthy fear, which protects us and which heightens our awareness so that we can achieve our best. No, we need to be set free from the fear which keeps us awake at night, which stops us taking steps of faith, such as talking to someone about Christ or taking on some new ministry. Fear should be our servant and not our master. If fear causes adrenaline to flow so that I can sing a top B flat, I'm grateful for that fear. If fear of a person or of a situation robs me of my joy as a Christian, I want to be set free from that fear. The context of this psalm is that David had cause to be afraid. The note at the top of the psalm tells us David wrote the psalm when he was in danger for his life, and he had to feign madness before the Philistine king, whose title was Abimelech. I've never feared for my life, but if we were active Christians in many Muslim or atheist countries, we would have such fear. I have a friend whom I met when I was doing some preaching in Turkey. His name is Brian. He's one of the finest evangelists I've ever met. Turkey is a democracy where officially there is freedom of religion. The reality is that the state is profoundly opposed to Christianity. All of my missionary friends there have other job titles. They run businesses so that they can do their missionary work on the quiet. They live with the constant fear that they could be arrested or that they could be harmed. When I preached in the conference in Turkey, Brian had been told by some militant Islamists that if he continued with evangelism, his children would be killed. His children are about the same age as my children. At the end of the conference, his wife was in tears because she didn't want to go back. She didn't want to put her children into harm's way. Now, what do you do? Do you obey God and preach the gospel? Brian had to put his trust in God. He had to take God at his word in Psalm 34. They returned to their flat. They returned to their church. They carried on doing evangelism. I'm happy to tell you, no harm ever came to their children. But they did eventually move cities. Now then, fear is normal. If my children were threatened, I'd be afraid. But fear must not be our master. Brian had to face up to militant Islamic extremists. The worst we're going to face, probably, is that people will laugh at us for sharing the gospel. In a few examples, people lose their jobs in this country for being vocal Christians. That is a possibility. At the same time, many of us are facing all kinds of other fears. Fears for our families. Fears for our health. Fears for our jobs. How are we going to respond to these fears? Will fear control us, or will we control our fears? Let's listen to Psalm 34. This is how it goes. The headings are on your sheets. Join me in blessing the Lord. He answered my prayers. Therefore, fear the Lord with me. The Lord cares for those who trust him. Firstly, then, join me in blessing the Lord. Verses 1 to 3. Verse 1, I will extol the Lord at all times. That is a very important principle. My trouble is, I praise God in church, I complain when things go wrong. Maybe you're the same. If we're going to be people who are free from fear, we need to be familiar with praise. I sometimes play praise music to tune my heart to sing God's praise. I find that very helpful. We need to be familiar with praising God before non-Christians. So we tell people how wonderful he is. That gets us onto the front foot in spiritual warfare. Extol the Lord at all times, in our quiet times, in church, in home group, in family life, in work life, in our leisure. We need to be people who speak God's praises. This does us good. His praise will always be on my lips. Now, David didn't live up to this. He was clearly terrified when he thought Abimelech was going to kill him. He pretended to be mad. He wasn't praising God when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. But his aspiration was to be a person of praise. We should be the same. Verse 2, my soul will boast in the Lord. Nobody likes a show off because none of us is worthy of showing off. There are things we're good at, but there are plenty of things wrong with us. I must never boast except in the Lord. How wonderful is God? How wonderful is Jesus? Think of all he's done for us. Boast in him. Tell people how wonderful he is. Verse 3, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Do you realize how significant it is to come to church? We join together in blessing the Lord, praising the Lord. We glorify him together. We exalt his name together. It's really important to be committed to this. It's not enough to be present in body and absent in spirit. It's no good if your mind is elsewhere. You need to keep your mind on the job of blessing the Lord. And if we will be people of praise, we will be increasingly set free from fear. Because we're turning our minds away from ourselves, away from our fears, and we're concentrating our minds on God, his greatness, his glory. Join me in blessing the Lord. Because number 2, he answered my prayers. Verses 4 to 6. Look at verse 4. I sought the Lord and he answered me. This is how God works. We seek him. That means we pray. And he answers. Now, he doesn't always say yes. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. But always, when I seek the Lord, God answers. And look what he did in verse 4. He delivered me from all my fears. David thought his number was up. He shouldn't have entertained that fear because God had told him he was going to be king. There was no way he could die, either at the hands of Saul, from whom he was on the run, or at the hands of Abimelech. A Christian is immortal until the moment of God's choosing. Nobody can kill me until the day established in eternity when I will die. Until that day, I'm immortal. But we're all human. David was human. He was terrified. And yet, God delivered him from his fears. As you go on into Christian maturity, this should be more and more your experience. Maybe you're a school teacher. When you first had to stand before a classroom, maybe you felt sick with nerves. Now you're a mature teacher and you're in control of your nerves. It should be that as we go on as Christians, we're more and more in control of our fear, so that we can speak for Christ. We can serve the Lord. Tell God what you're afraid of. Ask him to deliver you from your fears. And then, here's the hard part. Step out in faith and do the thing you're afraid of. As you do it, God delivers you. As you go on doing these things, you find that you're more and more free of fear. Verse 5, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The consistent Christian will not be put to shame. We may be laughed at, but in the end, we will be vindicated, even if that vindication takes place on the day of judgment. But very often, our vindication comes before then. Join me in blessing the Lord. He answered my prayers. Verse 6, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. This has been my experience. And if God leaves me with a trouble, I can be confident that it's for my good. Number 3, therefore, fear the Lord with me. Verses 7 to 14. Verse 7 is lovely. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. The angel of the Lord is often the Son of God in the Old Testament, the second person of the Trinity. When God appears as the angel of the Lord, it's called a theophany. It's a wonderful thought. God is camped around me and my family. And notice, he camps around those who fear him. Some of us were brought up singing a hymn called Through All the Changing Scenes of Life. It contains the words, fear him, you saints, and you will then have nothing else to fear. His service shall be your delight, your needs shall be his care. Or, to put it another way, the fear of the Lord sets us free from all other fears. The fear of the Lord sets us free from all other fears. When you fear God, he camps around you. This puts our fears in perspective. Perhaps I'm afraid of a person. But who are they in the light of God? Perhaps I'm afraid of circumstances. But can they frustrate the eternal purposes of God? Perhaps I'm afraid of death, but God is the giver of eternal life. Fear him alone. This does not mean a cringing fear. I love him. He loves me. But I hold him in the utmost reverence and awe. I try to fear displeasing him more than I fear the opinion of man. Verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste means experience. Jesus tasted death. That means he experienced death. Taste God. Experience God. Step out in faith. Take God at his word. Believe his promises. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Remember what I told you last Sunday night? Clive Calver is a famous preacher, and his son's baby nearly died. And his son said, "If the baby lives, God is good. If the baby dies, God is good." The Calvers have tasted that the Lord is good. God's goodness does not change, even if bad things happen. The Clive Calver quote was given to me by a close friend whose husband is dying. And what she meant was, if my husband lives, God is good. If my husband dies, God is good. That's faith. Trust in God, whatever happens. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Some people take refuge in family, some in money, some in career, but only God is a safe refuge. Only God can take you through life and one day through death to heaven. And then it comes again, verse 9, fear the Lord, you his saints. Decide to fear the Lord. Decide that you will care about his opinion and nobody else's. Choose to fear his disapproval and not what other people think. For those who fear him lack nothing. Again, all of the Old Testament promises of prosperity have their ultimate fulfillment in heaven, a land flowing with milk and honey. All of the blessings of the promised land are a picture of heaven. Hebrews 11:10 makes this clear. So it is true that we will lack nothing in heaven. We will go to heaven if we fear God. I am well aware of the lack some in this room suffer. But in heaven, we will lack no good thing. Verse 10, even lions suffer weakness and hunger, but not the Christian in heaven. Verse 11, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So you can learn to fear God. That's good news. Because none of us does it perfectly. Now verses 13 and 14, if you want to be blessed, be holy. This is not a mechanical thing, because holy people suffer. But it is a general truth. The way to be happy and blessed is to be holy. Remember the hymn, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Keep your tongue from evil, turn from evil, and do good. Join me in blessing the Lord. He answered my prayers. Therefore, fear the Lord with me." Number four, the Lord cares for those who trust him. Verses 15 to 22. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. I'm not a perfect parent. I must confess, sometimes my children talk to me and I don't listen. They finish what they have to say and I don't know what they've said. Not so with God. His eyes and ears are on us. This is how I want to go through life. God watching me, God listening to me. However, verse 16, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. How terrifying to have God set his face against you so that you are erased from history. This is the reality of hell. God can only look with judgment on unforgiven sin. This is how he looked on Jesus on the cross. He set his face against Jesus when Jesus was loaded up with the sin of the world, when he became sin in our place. Jesus has taken the punishment so that you and I can be forgiven. We can have God's ears and eyes on us in love and care. Be like verse 17. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. Cry out to God. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, verse 18, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Actually, we need to be brokenhearted. We need to be crushed. I need to break my heart over the way I've rejected Jesus. I need to feel crushed by this. But when I do, God is close to me. Verse 19, I may have many troubles. This is true. But God will deliver me from them all, either in this life or in heaven. He will protect me, verse 20. The wicked are done for, verse 21. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. But verse 22, the Lord redeems his servants. He redeems with the precious blood of his Son. That's the price that was paid for our redemption, so that no one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. I know I am not condemned. I know I'm not going to hell. I know I'm going to heaven. So are you enjoying freedom from fear? Is fear your servant, something which helps you, the adrenaline flows? Or is it your master? To be free from the power of fear, bless the Lord with me. How are you at praising? How are you at praising him on your own? How are you at praising him when you feel afraid? How are you at praising him corporately with the church? How are you at praising him before non-Christians? There's power in this. Bless the Lord with me. And it turns us away from ourselves onto God. And it does us good. Remember, God answers prayer, says the psalmist. Therefore, fear the Lord with me. Fear God alone. The fear of the Lord sets us free from all other fears. So cultivate, learn the fear of the Lord. Choose to fear him, not the person or the circumstances that are intimidating you. And remember, as you fight this battle, because it's a battle for all of us, we're all the same, we're in it together, remember, the Lord cares for those who trust in him. If God is for us, who can be against us? God is for you. God cares for you. God wants to help you in this. God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit and strengthen you and bless you as you live for him. Let's pray. Father, we're all the same. We're all like David when he was terrified. We all allow fears to come crashing in, to knock us off balance. But we thank you, Father, that we need fear you alone. And we thank you that as we fear you, the angel of the Lord encamps around us. So, Lord, help all of us to grow in this. Help us to put our trust in you. Help us to decide to fear you alone and not to fear people or circumstances. So we pray for your help in this, that we may be courageous, faith-filled servants of you. For Jesus' sake, amen.